Blog Talk Radio.
Really think
We got to hear what this brother has to say. I got my views on it. I want to hear what that brother has to say. Let him know. Let me know. By burning that card is relevant. Or isn't it? Hey, brother, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, brother. You know, I had you on my show before, man. I was trying to get you up to date on some things. We talked back before about the Benton Harbor issue. So I want you to give me some, before we go into this NAACP thing, I want you to give me some updates on what's been going on in Benton Harbor since they dissolved the government pretty much. And that's when we talked last time. It's been a while.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's been some incredible things going on. We've been working extremely hard to neutralize this government that they have. Governor Snyder, some of you may have heard of him. He brought in an emergency manager. When you bring in an emergency manager, he has absolute power. He's a dictator. He can terminate the mayor. Matter of fact, what he did when he first got here, he took the mayor desk out of his office and put it down in the basement. Then he changed the locks on all the commissioners' offices and took their cell phones, and they was no longer being paid. He said that everybody in the city of Benton Harbor voted for something, and he voted against it. He wins. That's right. He said he has absolute power. What he's doing now, Whirlpool Corporation, they the head honcho around here. They've been trying to take land from the city of Benton Harbor for the last 10 years. So what you have here, you have government and corporation merging to come up against the people. Fascism right there. Never in the history of mankind have you ever had a chance to witness it and see it in a city until this happened in the city of Benton Harbor. Here's what Whirlpool tried to do. They tried to buy Lake Michigan from the city of Benton Harbor. You can't buy Lake Michigan. How are you going to buy Lake Michigan? The city of Benton Harbor do not own Lake Michigan. So with this emergency manager, he thought that he has the power to sell Lake Michigan to Whirlpool. And look, that's when the federal government stepped in and told him, you can't do that. Lake Michigan does not belong to the city of Benton Harbor. So we have been fighting and fighting and fighting, and they had this Public Act 4, which we went out and got 226,000 signatures to put it on the ballot. November the 6th, and we defeated it. We did. And they went out and got another a law to overcome Public Act 4, which is supposed to be worse than Public Act 4, is going to go into effect March 1st. So we've been fighting an uphill battle. We've been doing some incredible things, and they have the resources to do a lot of things, but we have the manpower to help stop it. And we've been fighting and fighting, and we're not going to quit. See, that's the best part. They say black people run fast, but we don't run long. They say that we're like quarter horses who can only run a quarter of a mile. But we have proven that whoever said that is wrong, because we've been fighting and fighting and fighting, and we'll continue to fight. And here's the good part. You don't see a whole lot of black folks fighting together.
And what that's a what? Doing, that's a good?
Yeah, that's a good thing. Other than the preachers, I'll get to them in a minute. But other than the preachers, the people had come together. But here's how they've been trying to neutralize us in the city of Benton Harbor, which is only 70 miles from Chicago. Right down the street. Matter of fact, on a good day, you can jog here.
Maybe
and
so.
They was like, yeah, absolutely. And they was like, you know, nobody could believe that these ministers went against the people to say that it's okay to have a dictator in your community. Matter of fact, they called a press conference to say that we was a bunch of fools out there trying to neutralize the dictator. This is what the ministers did. They had about, it was about 15 of them, and they all decided that they was going to come in and go against the people. And basically, we beat them down. So
all the ministers were local?
Yeah, all of them was local. Mm-hmm. And they decided to side with Whirlpool and the dictator. And we're still fighting them now. We make sure that they understand that we're not backing down. We're standing up, and we're making sure that, you know, that I hope the rest of the country can see what you can do if you work together. To me, that's the most important thing, that we have to learn to work together. And that's why we have been a force. That's the only reason.
We you said you are you fight them now. I mean, what is it, a legal fight?
Well, no, it's a it's more or less a we're using our resources, like manpower. They'll come out and make a statement, knowing that it's not true what they're saying, and we'll come out and make a statement and produce the evidence to show what they just said. These ministers, now, what we're saying.
What I'm saying is, okay, with the black ministers.
Yes.
It's real disturbing that these blacks will go ahead and decide what the people is trying to hurt you. How are you dealing with them?
Yeah, well, we trying to neutralize them. It's been a battle. Remember, they got that finance resources behind them that these corporations and stuff feed them so they can come out and be against the people. So that's what that's all about.
Okay, so this is my thing right quick. Give me a little bit about your background, because we're going to come back to the Benton Harbor piece.
Yeah, well, here's what happened. In 2005, they had an election here. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for us, we was able to beat the head honcho, him and his family, which was backed by the ministers. And mm-hmm. we did a recall. And we beat them by the absentee ballot. So they said nobody could beat this family with the backing of the minister and the backing of Whirlpool money. They said it's impossible. We either had to cheat or Reverend Pinckney is the smartest man there is in the whole wide world. Matter of fact, they actually published this in the newspaper. So they decided they couldn't give me that title as being the smartest man, so they had to say we had to cheat. They went out and paid a young man $10 to say that I paid him $5 to vote. And that started the ball rolling.
Wow.
I was convicted of voter fraud, and they gave me probation. I wrote an article in the People's Tribune newspaper, quoting Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse, which simply says, if you do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and do all these things that is right, all these things will come upon you. And the judge said it was a threat on his life, his wife's life, his children's life, and his children's children's life, and they decided they sent me to prison for 3 to 10 years. So the ACLU came in and also had another team of attorneys. I had more attorneys than anybody could ever imagine that a black man having. And what happened was they got me released on appeal bond. Once I was released on appeal bond, the next step was to get it overturned. And the Court of Appeal overturned it and released me completely. And they did not like that. Matter of fact, the ministers here gave the judge an award actually for sending me to prison. And, yeah.
And it's funny, but that's...
See, what made it so good, they thought that now they had gotten rid of Pinckney. Pinckney was gone forever because they couldn't believe in a million years that the Court of Appeal will overturn it. But I knew that the Court of Appeal was going to do it because, matter of fact, they could not believe that things could be going the way they were, because everywhere I went, no prison wanted me. I was in 10 prisons in 4 months.
Mm.
And every time I went to a prison, they would try to find a way to get rid of me because the news followed me. Everywhere I went, the news media was there. They wanted to know, they wanted to come in and interview me, but they didn't know that by moving me, you get a new set of the news media, you get a different news team. And that's why they was kept following me everywhere I went. So that was
also,
that was a
hey, look,
that was,
and also them going ahead and have didn't want you in their prison meant that you had the ability to stir up the Negroes.
Absolutely. They we had a food strike there. Matter of fact, I pulled the Muslim brothers and I pulled the Aryan nations, the skinheads, the Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans, the Christian brothers, the you name it, I pulled them all together. Even the Indians came along and joined me in a food strike. We had a food strike after I was there just for a short period of time. So they figured that they had to figure out a way to neutralize me. Nobody wanted me in their prison. I don't care. Yeah, I was the only guy they said that ever went to prison that nobody wanted him in the prison. Matter of fact, they was doing everything in their power to try to figure out a way how they were going to stop me. And basically, I was just doing what I do. I didn't lose no sleep over it. We just, started organizing inside the prison system, and it started not just there, but it went to other prisons in the state of Michigan. And then they shipped me about 900 miles from my home, and they thought that would kind of neutralize me a little bit. But unfortunately, when they sent me 900 miles, the news media was there too. So everywhere they sent me, the news media was.
So how did you get tied up with the NAACP, though?
Well, here's what happened. The NAACP here had been broken down. They had no chapter here. So I was here. I had just got out of prison, just got out. And I was out on an appeal bond. And the state president, vice president, came and met with me. He saw an opportunity of saying that they was part of getting me released more than anything else, and that Pinckney was a part of the NAACP. Basically, they wanted to use me. That's what they wanted to do, and this is what the NAACP do. So they came to my house, sat down at my house, and told me that they wanted me to start up a branch. And I told them that I would because they knew that we had the people. So we had a meeting.
So hold on, you were basically like a political pawn with them, right?
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. I was, and they did what they supposed to do, and this is what they do. They came in, called themselves using me to build the branch back up, and then they wanted me to relinquish the branch to the Whirlpool Corporation, so that they can continue to take over the city.
Wait, hold on. How often do they do that kind of stuff?
Every chance they get. See, remember, the NAACP is not what
Let me ask you this question. See, because what you said is they build up a branch and then turn it over to a private industry?
Corporations. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they did here. I can honestly say they did it here because I was part of it. I have the evidence to support what I'm saying. And then also, probably I met with about 20. Matter of fact, there was a guy in Chicago. Name David Lowry. He's out he got the South Branch of the NAACP. They did him the same identical way.
But who did they want him to go ahead and to fall for? I mean, to fall on.
Well, here's what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to go out and campaign for Obama. And they wanted me to do the same thing now. Let me go back. They wanted me to do they want all the branches to go out and campaign for Obama and send your troops out. But that's against the 501c3. You can't pull for Obama, and you can't pull against Obama. You can't pull for Romney, and you can't pull against him. If you do, you're in total violation of your 501c3. And when they told me that, I told him that I was not going to do it. I told him straight out. I said, I will not do that because then I'll be just as bad as you are. I'm going to go by the rules. Matter of fact, I do hope that he wins and all this kind of stuff. That's fine because I'd rather have him than Romney. But the point is, I cannot go out and tell my people to go out here and campaign for Obama. I couldn't do it. If they decide to do it on their own, I wouldn't be mad at them.
You know what? Let me ask you something else real fast. You you don't have to, you know, because I, you know, it might be some other little problems. But you know, tell me who you are answering to at this point, man. I mean, it's got some kind of command structure. So who are you answering to? Who is giving you these instructions?
The President Yvonne White from Detroit. She was giving the orders, and she was telling people that you must go out and solicit votes for Obama. He said that's what we do. He said, and matter of fact, they was willing to actually pay people to go door to door and knock on people's door and give out literature and say, we want you to vote for Obama. And they knew it was illegal, but they think like this: who gonna tell them?
You ain't supposed to get involved in a political campaign. That is against the 501c3.
Right, that is against the 501c3, and it's all over the country. I was on a conference call in Atlanta, Georgia. They didn't even know I was on the conference call.
Mm-hmm.
And the president was telling all the branches that this is a dire situation. You must hit the pavement. And they also told him the same thing. They was getting money from the Democratic Party, the government, to go out there and put troops, put their boots on the floor, and get out here and solicit votes. The NAACP was doing this. They was out there all over the country.
I got corrected. The NAACP is a 501c4.
See, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's 501c3, nonprofit. Let's use the term nonprofit. As a nonprofit organization, you cannot go out there and solicit votes for either for someone or against anyone. That's the law. And if you do, you are in total violation of that nonprofit status, and it will be revoked. That's the rule. And that's just the way things are. So basically, that's what they wanted us to do. Well, you know, most likely.
Let me ask you another question real quick.
Okay.
Why didn't Congress go after them like they went after Acorn?
Well, here's the reason why.
And the Black Caucus involved in it?
Oh, absolutely. The NAACP got name recognition. Acorn didn't have the name recognition that the NAACP has. And at this time, let's say if it was a Republican president, a Republican attorney general, then it would be something different. But you had the Democrat, which the NAACP was pushing. So far, well, you're going to see something on Fox News probably before the month's out in reference to the NAACP soliciting votes for Obama, because they know the story, but will they put it on? I don't know. They interviewed
didn't come out if they really wanted to hurt him. You know, well, another way they would be trying to hurt him, they would have put that out prior to the election.
Well, no, but they didn't really get the information until this month. Matter of fact, Fox News came to my home. Let's say two weeks from Friday. And they interviewed me. They interviewed a guy out of Chicago. They interviewed a guy from Colorado. And they interviewed two people from Atlanta who all told the same story in reference to this. Only reason that they're upset about it because when we refused to say that we're going to go out and campaign for Obama, what they did, they suspended you. And they suspended each of these guys for 5 years.
5 years suspension?
Yeah, 5 years.
What can't you do during that suspension?
David Lowry, huh?
What can't you do during the suspension? I mean, you're on suspension. What are you restricted to doing?
You can no longer act as a member of the NAACP. And if you're the president, you have to give up that seat. If you're the vice president, you have to give up that seat. If you're the treasurer, you have to give up that seat. That's the whole plan. The plan is to, like, knock you down. They look at it as a privilege to be a member of the NAACP. But here's what they did to me. After they told me that they're going to suspend me for 5 years, for more or less because of my behavior, they said. That my behavior is not what a NAACP president ought to be and ought to be doing. So I sent them a letter back, and I said, well, 5 years, you're being a little bit too lenient with me. You need to suspend me for the rest of my life. I do not want you to be lenient. I want you to be hard, cold. And they didn't like that very well. So about the next week, I received a letter in the mail asking me to renew my membership.
Really?
And absolutely.
How much is the membership?
$30.
And what do you get for the membership?
Nothing. Exactly nothing. You get a chance to carry that card, and that's all you do. You don't get nothing. Matter of fact, if you don't even come to the meeting, they don't even care. Most people try not to come to the meetings. And what we normally do around here, we always had a full house because we picked up the people. See, one thing about black folks, if you can get them a ride, they'll come. And that was so amazing about this. You see,
hey, how long did you run that office in Michigan for the NAACP?
For 3 years.
Mm.
3 good years, and we did some incredible things.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about some of your biggest achievements.
Yeah, well, you know, some of the things that we did was so remarkable that even the national was, well, one thing we did, let me say this. This young man was on trial for murder, was going to go on trial for murder. The problem was they knew that this guy did not commit the murder. But the point is, when they give you a court-appointed attorney, most likely that court-appointed attorney is not going to defend a black person. You see?
You know what? Wait, before you go more into involved in that, because something I didn't get from you from the beginning, what is really the true role of the NAACP? What is their mission? Why are they around? What are they doing?
Well, you just popped two quick questions at me, but let me say what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP is supposed to be a civil rights organization that goes in and fights for your civil rights. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what their bylaws read. We are a civil rights organization. But, unfortunately, the NAACP have lost their way. They're no longer a civil rights organization. Matter of fact, what they do now, they cater to the corporations. This is what they do. This is who make decisions for them. This is who run the NAACP. And the best example I can give you is Whirlpool here in the city of Benton Harbor. And I'm going to make this brief because I know you probably got other questions you need to ask me. But
No, go ahead. Dip into it.
Right. Whirlpool, we've been picking in Whirlpool. And we had called for a national boycott of all Whirlpool products. They own 74% of all washer, dryers, stove, and refrigerators. So they didn't believe that we can put a stop to them or neutralize them. But unfortunately for them, they didn't realize that people are concerned when you talk about racism. We say that Whirlpool is a racist corporation, and we put a boycott on them. They came back with a triple minus credit rating. They were just one step from junk stock. One step from junk stock and a hostile takeover of Whirlpool. But here's what they did. They got smart. They thought that if they met with the NAACP and neutralized me, it would stop everything. So they met with Yvonne White. She's a state president. Yvonne White went to the national office. This is the reason why I know that part, because we took him to court. But let me get that. Yvonne White went to the national office, and they told Yvonne White that we want to support the NAACP. We want to give you some money, but we cannot give you any money under the leadership of Reverend Edward Pinckney. We will not do it. If you find a way to get rid of him, we will give you whatever it is. We're going to do your Freedom Fund dinner, and we're going to supply you with funds. And I got this from a member of the state board down there. They told me that they said that you had to go, Reverend. And I said, well, I said, you know, if they would have came to me in a nice way, because I'm not that in love with the NAACP anyway. But then what they tried to do, they tried to lie and say we hadn't had a meeting in 6 months. We knew that was a lie. They said we didn't have an election. They know we had an election. Well, here's what I did. I took them to court and sued them for $100,000. I brought in a couple of my lawyers to neutralize their lawyer, because the NAACP, if they don't have nothing else, they got lawyers who will fight for them. And so they brought in two of their lawyers. I brought in three of mine. And we in court, just battling out. They're lying through their teeth, trying to figure out a way how they're going to neutralize me. The judge saw right through them. He told them, he said, this is what I'm going to do, Reverend. He said, I'm going to have to dismiss your $100,000. And that's what I really wanted. He said, I can't give you $100,000. And he gave me the reason. Well, you know, it just, I don't think it. But he said, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Ben Jealous with your complaint. And he said this. He said, I believe that he will resolve this matter without you coming back to court, you know. So here's what we did. At that time, we dismissed it. And he said, if I come back to court, I can come back free. I don't have to pay no money. And then he'll make the decision. And they knew the decision that he would make would most likely be in my favor. They knew that. So here's what they did. Ben Jones went out on a maternity leave. When he went out on the maternity leave, I had filed my complaint. He actually never received it. 4 days later, they had a surprise election where Whirlpool had went out and purchased 350 memberships to start another branch, because we only had maybe about 250 people. So they had to purchase at least 300 to 350 in order to defeat me. So they went out and purchased 350 memberships. Then they realized that out of this 350, what if 75 to 100 go and vote for Reverend Pinckney? That means that we'll lose this. So here's what they said. They had two armed guards blocking the place to make sure that I don't show up. If I showed up, I was supposed to be arrested on the spot. And they wouldn't even let me participate in the election. This is how nasty this thing got. And so then they sent me a letter telling me because of my behavior that I was no longer a part of the NAACP. And that's how everything boiled down. It was ugly. And it gave them a bad name. It gave them a name where people been looking for things that to actually say to connect the NAACP with the corporations. And then I gave them the evidence. There was one guy in Seattle, Washington. I had put an email out. And he got a hold of the email, and he called me. And he was just, for about 10 minutes, he was just chewing me out. He was telling me that the NAACP is the oldest civil rights organization, and they have done so much for us, and here you are trying to sue them and bring them down. And once he got through talking, then I told him the story about Whirlpool. I said, well, unfortunate for you, I do have the evidence to support what I'm saying. And I sent him some stuff, and after he read the stuff, he decided that he was going to burn his NAACP card because he knew exactly what I was saying. He knew all along, but he never heard it from a person. Most times, people don't talk about it. Black folks, we give them a free pass, regardless who they are. We give a Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. We give them a free pass, you know, because we want to say that we got somebody standing up, but they're not standing up for us. What they're doing, they're stabbing us dead in the back, keeping us down. That's what they do. That's what the NAACP do. they neutralize everything that's happening. Anytime you see them involved in something, it's got to be some money exchanged somewhere, no matter what it is. And that's really their whole history. It's always been their history. It didn't just start. It's just that now people are wising up and seeing that the NAACP is really, I mean, it's a fake. That's what it is. They've been pimping in our community for years. It's just that black people are afraid to call a spade, especially when it's black. And even with Obama. Obama's been president. He's been president. He's been in there. He has done exactly nothing for black folks. It's agenda. Even the Latinos, he's going to do something for Latinos. I haven't heard him say he's going to do anything for black folks or minorities. His conversation is nothing about us. But yet and still, we went out, and I believe the total was 93% of us voted for him. And we get nothing. NAACP, the same thing over and over and over again. And nobody can talk about them. Nobody can say nothing bad about them because people don't want it. You trying to bring the black man down. That's what they – no, I'm trying to make them do what they're supposed to do. The NAACP is out of touch with the black community. They don't even care what you want. They care less about you. Even with the foreclosures, they had the biggest lawsuit that you could ever have against these predator loaners. They had it. They went in, started the lawsuit, then decided not to continue the lawsuit after everybody had signed up.
Mm.
And it's documented. It's not something that Reverend Pinkney is saying off the top of his head. It's there. And this is what they've been doing, the same thing over and over and over again. And we as black people give them a free pass. We
Reverend Ed.
Yes.
Okay, Ben Jealous. Okay, Ben Jealous, is it easy to go ahead and talk to him, approach him?
I'm approachable.
I'm
approachable. You would never be able to talk to him. Never. If there is an issue, it's about four or five layers before you get to him.
Wow.
And even
if you're running an associate office?
Yeah, absolutely. We never get a chance to talk. Even with my complaint. My complaint went straight to his office overnight. Never got a reply back. Never. Because they knew I was right. They knew I was right on the money. See, when you write, you'll never get a reply back from them. They figure if you don't get a reply back, that's like them saying, no, it's over for you. But where are you going to go? There's no other layer other than the courts. And that's what happened. And here's the thing that we're doing for Ben Jealous right now. See, our protest on February the 1st, we'll put a few demands on the table. And this thing is going to be big. I'm talking about maybe thousands of people going to show up. I just got off a conference call today about that, and they already got a committee together to do this. But we're demanding that Ben Jealous resign. And we're also demanding that the NAACP allow the members to elect the next president. You see, not the board. We want the members. That way, the people will have a chance. We don't have a chance. You don't have a chance being a member. All they want you to pay that $30 and go somewhere and sit down.
How long has that $30 membership fee been in place?
Probably for the last, I would say maybe for the last 8 to 9 years. Because I remember it was $25.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's the last. Then it went up to $30. And I believe that's what it is. But I would say maybe from 8 to 10 years, I would say.
And so you ain't getting nothing else, no discounts on furniture or nothing. Just $35.
You don't get nothing. Only thing you get from them is you get a crisis magazine now once every 4 months or so. And you used to get them every month, but now you get them every 4 months or so. And basically that's what you get.
Roughly, can you tell me how much Ben Jealous makes? What's his take-home pay?
I really don't have an idea, but I know one thing, it's six figures for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how high it is. When we talking about Ben Jealous, I know that is well, it's, and then it's definitely six figures. And just like when Ben Chavis was the president, they paid $1 million to get to allow him to be president of the NAACP. And I think his salary was a pardon.
What does that mean?
That means that, you know, he was the NAACP was given $1 million to make him the president of the NAACP.
So that's how they lured him in. They take $1 million. He's gonna be the boss.
That's what they did. They paid him. They paid him one. Not paid him. They paid $1 million for him to be the president. So one of his cronies, one of his friends, called Ben Chavis was at that time a very famous guy, because he was with the Willerton 10. And matter of fact, they had been released from prison, and he was one of the few who actually stood up and fought. See, that's the difference. That's another reason. But he liked to mess with the women. That was his downfall. He loved to mess with the women, and that's what the NAACP is now. It's a social club.
So who you said loved to mess with them? Ben Jealous?
Yeah, Ben Chavis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't say anything about Ben Jealous because I don't know him on that level. But I know when you go to the Freedom Fund, the National, it's you know, it's like a love nest, you know. And that's what they do. They, you know, every day hook up there, and people you know, it's like a big social club. You know, it's to me, I thought it was just a waste of money myself. And then it costs a lot of money. I mean, just for one package for one person costs about $400. You know, you get the book, you get all this stuff, you know, little knickknack stuff. That thing costs $400 just as a member. Each member has to pay $400. For a package. So that's a lot.
All right. What's included in that package? Okay, so it's not just the card and that other package, huh?
No, the card is not even included. Matter of fact, and then you have to be in good standards to here's what you could do with that. You get a book. They give you like a souvenir book. They put a few little magazines in there, and it's probably worth all of it together, maybe worth maybe $10-$15, which in order to be it, but it does have the NAACP on top each one of them. So that's one of the reasons why they charge you $400, because you're paying for the name NAACP. And also you get dinner. You get dinner for that $400 package. So that's what it is.
Wow. Wow. Ben Jealous, he got some ties to the corporate world. So
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So not just that salary he getting from going here and being the president of NAACP, but he getting some extra money on the side, ain't he?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when them corporate dollars come in, he makes sure he get his cut too, you see. And that's why it's important to always, anything that goes on, it goes straight to the National office. You are not to do anything. They don't want you to do nothing. If it's a traffic ticket, they want you to take it to the National. So anywhere where they think that they may be able to get a few dollars, that's what they do. Believe me, it's nothing about civil rights anymore. It's nothing about the people anymore. They care less about people in the community. They don't, matter of fact, they don't even care if you don't show, all they want you to do is renew your membership. So they can say we got 100,000 members, or they can say we got 100. But they like to say even after you are no longer a member, you still be on the roll because they still send you applications to fill out. Like they gave me a 5-year suspension, but then the next week they sent me something to fill out to renew my membership. Don't make any sense at all. But anytime you're dealing with an organization that don't care about its members, the members themselves, don't care about the community, don't care even about the people, then you know what you got. You got the NAACP.
So which examples can I follow to go ahead and show that they really don't care about the community? I mean, I don't see their presence. That's one.
Well,
but tell me something else.
Well, here's what you can do. You can call them. Call them and tell them that you got a situation and see what their reply is. First thing they're going to say, are you a member? And if you say no, they say, well, look, I'm going to send you an application. This is what they're going to say. Then they said, after they send you an application, you send your $30 in, then they're going to tell you, we do not deal on that level. We only deal with class action lawsuits. And
so
you not knowing.
They took my
$30. By you not knowing, you think that it's okay. Oh, well, they just don't do that. No, sir. You're a civil rights organization. Sometimes when there's a civil rights violation, it could be an individual. And that's what you deal with. That's what we deal with down here, and they didn't like it. They wanted to make sure that everything we did went through the national so they could figure out a way how they can strong arm some of these companies into getting dollars. Everything they do is about dollars. It's not about the people, you see. And here's another thing that a lot of people didn't quite understand about the NAACP. It was started by white folks. It was started to neutralize black folks. You see, that's what it was all about.
Sound like this.
Yeah, the Niagara Movement. That was the first movement. And that started in 1905. And then in 1909, the NAACP was born. The first president was a white man. He was a Boston lawyer. They did not have a black president until 1975. That was
really?
Benjamin Hook. Yeah. Benjamin Hook. He was the first black president they had. And from then on, that's the way it's been. See, most people think, when you think about the NAACP, and then if you go to some of these little southern towns, these little towns, you'll find out that the president of the NAACP is white in these chapters. You'll be amazed when you sit down and see. A lot of people don't know that. One thing about black people, we refuse to leave. I was in Louisiana, Slidell, Louisiana, Covington, Louisiana. I was going down there to help these folks out, deal with a system down there. The presidents of the NAACP was white. I never could have dreamed of it. I said, "Well,
okay,
that's
so,
why they don't
so
do.
When you saw he was white, I mean, what was his response?"
Well, my response was, "Are you the president?"
Okay,
the NAACP?
I admit that. You know, I'm getting beyond that initial shock. So what was his response?
His response was, "Yeah, I'm the president. I'm look." He said, I'm the head nigga in charge here, brother. So if you want to do something, you got to come through me.
Wow.
Yeah, and he know how bad racism is in Louisiana, but yet and still, this guy was the president. And look, they had about 30 members, and it was more white members than black.
So what's the mission at that point, though? I mean, what are they doing?
Exactly nothing. Remember this. The state NAACP don't want you to do anything anyway. All they want you to all they want to do is have numbers. See, numbers is important. You see, if you got the numbers, you can intimidate people. I got 100,000 boots on the ground. I got 200,000 boots on the ground. You don't want us to boycott your corporation. You don't want us to do it. And that's been the message that they've been sending across the country. Just like Wells Fargo. They know who Wells Fargo is, but yet Wells Fargo is the one who paid for their Freedom Fund dinner. You got, all these other Bank of America. These guys, they take this money, and they pay for the Freedom Fund dinner, and Ben Jealous and the rest of them are happy. They don't care about the people. That's all I'm saying. See, my message tonight is simple. The NAACP is no longer a civil rights organization.
So what are they now?
The NAACP is nothing but a social club. That's what it is. And that's what they want every single branch to be. There are some branches that actually fight. But if they fight, they're going to lose their president. That's how it operates. I tell you, on Thursday night, I have a phone conference with about 25 former presidents of the NAACP. And every last one of them got a ghost story. They tell their story, and it's sickening to me. It's enough to say, well, hey, and that's why on February the 1st, we're going to be in L.A., and we're going to protest the NAACP Image Award. And we are going to make a statement on that day. The news media is already ready to be there because they said this has never been done before. Nobody has ever stood up, especially black folks, has stood up against the NAACP.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Hey, okay, let's go back to some of the achievements. So what are some of the things you accomplished while you was in the leadership position at the NAACP? You were talking about the young man who went to court
right.
Was up for murder.
Right. It was two of them. The one that really stands out, that really got us recognition, was that they were all set to take this man to trial. And they knew he did not commit the murder, but they knew that he had a court-appointed attorney. And we all know that the court-appointed attorney is not going to defend anybody on no murder charge. So we went out and hired a private investigator to go out and get the information to show them that it was impossible for this man to have killed this man the way they said it happened. Fortunately for him, that when we got the report back, it cost us about $2,500, which is really peanuts when you think about a person's life, because he was going to jail for the rest of his life, let's put it that way. And the report came back, and it showed it was their private investigator that we paid. And he went out, got the information, threw it on the prosecutor's desk, and called the prosecutor a liar. He said, "You're lying. You know this man didn't kill this guy. You know he didn't." And they were still going to take him to trial, but the same morning of the trial, they decided they could not take that man to trial. It made us look good because we knew and we went out and fought for it. We had over 200 cases dismissed. Over 200 cases. We talking about strong armed robbery, you name it, it was there. We had cases dismissed that nobody believed. Matter of fact, they say that we were practicing law without a license. They tried to heal me up, said I was, but I told them I'm giving them everybody spiritual advice. Because if you take that guilty plea, your butt going to jail. And that's the best spiritual advice I can give you. And normally it worked. And these are the achievements. Here's something else we did. We filed a suit against the court-appointed attorneys. And the way we filed it, we filed it under the NAACP, but we couldn't use the NAACP money because they would not approve it on the state level. So my organization, Banco, we filed it under Banco. We had the evidence to produce it. The ACLU came in. They took the case. We took it to the appeal court. We won it on the first level. We won it on the second level. And now the state is taking it to the Supreme Court, hoping that they rule in their favor and against us. So it's all working out, some of these incredible things that we're doing. Also, we're dealing with the school system here. We're in the process now. It started under the NAACP, but once again, the NAACP is not going to spend money for a local lawsuit unless there's a big corporation behind it. and that way they normally file it, then go in and ask for money from them and drop the lawsuit. So
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw something a while back where it was saying that, hey, look, in order for these guys to come out, they got like an appearance fee. So, you know, the problems you were having up there in Michigan, in order for Ben Jealous to come out, it has to be an appearance fee. Do you know what that fee is?
No. The only
you know
thing
what,
I could think of is, you know, it got to do with money.
Right. So someone had posted in my chat room that Ben Jealous' salary is $93,020 a year. I really think it's a lot higher than that.
Yeah, and then you got to think about all the different the credit cards and all the other things that he's able to use. Probably got him a home in Baltimore. You know, a lot of stuff. If it's $93,000, I'm not mad at him. But the point is, I want him to just go out here and become a civil rights organization like his 501. Well, they're 501c3, but all the branches are 501c4, I believe. I'm not quite
hold
sure.
Hold on. The reason I bring up his salary, I just don't – I feel – you know, and okay, well, she put it in the chat room, that was his salary back in 2007. But the reason I feel that it's relevant, it's just another reason for me to go ahead and say that it doesn't justify him being there. He's getting all this money from these memberships, and he's getting all this outside money, and it just seemed like a whole big corrupted unit. And I didn't know what you just told me about the leadership in a lot of these small towns today are white.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they even know where, even possibly go ahead and discuss some of our issues? You know, they're going to go ahead and go with what things that's going to go ahead and benefit them, and to go ahead and get
absolutely
what's happening with us.
And that's what I said. You know, when I'm in Slidell, all the way from Michigan, Benton Harbor, Michigan, going to Slidell, Louisiana, to fight for justice, you got an NAACP there, but the president of the NAACP is white. And you talking about racism? I mean, how do you sit here and talk about racism with a white person who knows that racism exists and say, well, okay, it's racist. We know that. Let's move on.
So let me get this straight because I just had that thought. So you mean as much as the Klan has been going ahead and barking against the NAACP, these guys in these towns could be Klan members in the NAACP? I don't see how that works.
I don't see how that works. Go to Covington, Louisiana is a Klan town, a real Klan town. That's where they have the court system for that area in Covington, and the president there is white, and it's really a Klan town. Well, Louisiana is a Klan state. So when you think about white folks running the NAACP, remember now, it was started by white folks. You didn't get a black president until Benjamin Hook came along, and I believe it's 1975, if I am correct. I believe that was the first black president of the NAACP. And it's amazing when you sit down and think about it, that all these years, and actually the NAACP been asleep for the last 50 years. They're still sleeping now. Somebody need to wake them up. Somebody need to tell them that enough is enough. It is time that you do what your 501 or your nonprofit say that you are. And if you're not going to do it, you need to dissolve, you see. And, I don't really want to see them break up. I just want them to do what they're supposed to do. That's all I want from them because I've been part of them. I know what they do. And most people who have been part of it, if you do anything, it's not hard to find out about the NAACP. They're a money-grabbing organization. And believe me, they don't care nothing about you.
Have you seen some of where that money trail leads to?
Well, here's one of the things that we're doing right now. I'm glad you brought that up. We are asking, well, we got a group together, a group out of Colorado, we're going to go in, and we they're supposed to place on their website all the people who donate to them. But unfortunately, they do not have all the groups,
well,
all the corporations.
You said Whirlpool bought 300 memberships. I mean, how did they hide that?
Well, they couldn't because because I got the list. The list was mailed to me by the national office by accident because the P.O. box, I'm the only one who had a key to it. So that's how I got it. And I sent out a video where I was burning the NAACP cards myself. I think I burned about 20 that day. And I had to list the 350 names that they had sent to me by accident because they sent it to the P.O. box that belongs to the NAACP, and I'm the only one who had the key to it. So I got the – and then I know that they didn't give me the money. So who paid for it? So we set up a trail, a paper trail, to find out who exactly paid for it, and it was paid for by one check. And here's the bad part. All those memberships is going to expire February the 1st. So these same people who they paid for membership will no longer be members of the NAACP. And they won't have – my members, the one that was underneath me, they're definitely not renewing their membership. And some of the ones that they purchased, I've been burning their membership cards. So we have burned over 4,500 membership cards. We have burned over 4,500. And now what I'm doing, I'm having everybody who burned their card to take a picture of it and send it to me. And this week alone, on Sunday alone, we had 17 people to email me they burnt NAACP card. And we're getting there. We, like I told them, we just have to be a little bit more consistent when we do things and standing up and fighting. It's amazing. I tell you. But my point is, we can do a lot of things if we work together. We don't have the finance to fight these big dogs, but we do have the people resources. And that, to me, is a lot more important because people can do a lot of things if they're willing to do it.
So these guys have come up, someone like modern day – they're just robbing folks. Hey, do they have like a paper trail or some kind of trail to gangsters and some of these other drug dealers and stuff? You know, people they kind of keep sending rail against, and what kind of stuff they using that these guys using as incentive? They paying off their house too?
Well, you know what? They're doing what they're capable of doing. They're doing what they are able to do. They're doing things that we allow them to do. You see. See, black people, here's my only problem with us. We will not attack a Jesse Jackson. We won't do it. We won't attack a Al Sharpton. We won't attack the NAACP. And the reason why we don't do it, the reason why we won't, because we want to give them a free pass. Okay. You're out of touch with our community. You no longer fight for civil rights. So what? We still got you, Jesse. We still got you, Al. We still got the NAACP. We always want to have someone who we can hang our hats on. We're looking for somebody to save us. That's the whole thing. Black folks looking for someone to go out there and save them and take a bullet for them. And then they continue to cater to these white folks. And here's another thing. We got so many black folks who want to be like white folks. That's one of our biggest problems that we have in our community today. They know what's going on is wrong, but rather than to say it, I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. Whatever it is, I'm going to ride with that person because he's with them, the other guys. So that's it. That's where we at.
Which city? Okay, where's the office for the NAACP?
The national or the state?
Okay, the national office.
That's in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, so each state You know, the person who runs the state chapter. Where's the one here in Illinois?
In Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago. You know what street?
You might have I really don't know. I'm almost positive it's on the south side, and I'm thinking, just off my top of my head, I'm going to say Chicago. I mean, south side, 79th Street. I'm just going to say that. I don't have to be correct about that. I really don't know. I'm from Chicago, but they also have a branch on the west side. I don't know which one is the Big Cahuta, but one of them, the president himself is there, and they got branches out in south, in the suburbs too, south suburbs. But they got branches just about everywhere.
Yeah, I know they got a lot of branches. I seen one of the branches on Chicago Avenue. I was shocked.
Oh.
I was shocked to go ahead and come into this space and go ahead and see that little. I was like, what the hell are they doing in there? They got a little office there, but I never seen anybody in there. I've been over there a few times in the last few weeks, and I ain't never.
And
seen
you
anybody.
Most likely you won't find anybody. Most of them don't even have meetings no more. Like the one that took over here with all the members. They when they have their meeting, only be five people. And, you know, and that's out of 350 plus our group. Our group, well, they not going. None of my folks is going. But nobody is showing up for their meeting, and they want to know why nobody want to join the NAACP no more. So what can you say? You know, I think it's time that people's. Either make the NAACP either put up or shut up. That's
to be accountable.
Yeah, they got to be accountable, you know, for their action and inaction. We don't hold, like I said, each other accountable as long as you're black. And I think that is the biggest pitfall that we have. So we know we're in a tight fight, my brother. We're in a real fight. I mean, this is a dog fight, you know. But the point is, it's us. We have to make a decision. I mean, I'm sick and tired of these people, you know, playing with the future of our children. I'm sick of them. The school system is a big joke. At least the school system in Chicago stood up and fought. These folks around this country with this NAACP crap, they don't do nothing. They come in and then they come in and neutralize you. Whatever you do, anytime that you're in a fight, make sure you don't call them. Because if you do, they're going to figure out a way how to neutralize you. They're going to want to take over. And let me say this real quick. We went out and got 226,000 signatures to put this Public Act 4 on the ballot. 226,000. The NAACP was not even part of it. Here they go calling a press conference. Didn't get not one single signature. And they call the press conference. The news people come running out from all under every rock you could think of. You see the news media coming. They must have had about 50 news, different news people there, media there. And well, we're going to Lansing on Thursday and turn in our signatures. And you can bet your life that. This shows Governor Snyder that the NAACP is not sleeping on the job. And everybody was so upset because we know that they didn't go out and hustle and get those signatures. And yet and still, they took credit for them. Amazing.
Some of these things have been going on here recently. I've been seeing Ben Jealous stepping out in front, you know, like he's pretending to go ahead and speak up for black folks. Can you remember one real big issue that's affecting black folks?
Well, the Trayvon Martin case, here's what they did with that. They brought in, here's how they do. They'll bring in Al Sharpton. He got a job to do. Then they'll bring in Jesse. He got a job to do. Then they bring in the NAACP. All three get paid. Their job, basically, was the neutralize the whole situation and quiet it down. Right now, that boy Zimmerman, all kind of press they sneaking in about Trayvon beat him down to the ground, and you don't really hear it in the open media, but you see it different media reporting that The NAACP is no longer outspoken. Jesse is no longer outspoken. Al is no longer outspoken because they already got theirs. They won't be back. They won't be back. Even if there's a trial, they won't be there for the trial. You see? But that's what they do. They come in, this case down in Mississippi where these girls, we had been working on that thing for 5 years, even before I became a member of the NAACP. Huh? The Scott sisters.
Yes.
And we had wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to the governor, and he wrote me a letter back. And Jealous got wind of it, and when they were released, he wanted to take credit. He sent me a letter thanking me for my work, and as the president of the NAACP, once again, we have shown what we can do if we can work together. He sent me a personal letter about that, and when it started, it wasn't the NAACP. The letter wasn't sent as the NAACP. It was sent as BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization. But what he wanted to do, he wanted to put his stamp on there like the NAACP was there at the beginning. That's how they do. You see, these are things that they do, and this is how they come in, and this is what we have to stop. If you're not going to be part of it, don't be part of it. That's how I look at it. You see, don't try to come in after there's a successful mission and then do that from there. So basically that's what it adds up to.
Hey, are you ready to take a call? Brother Ed?
Yeah.
You ready to take a call?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this brother has got a question for you. He's been holding patiently. Brother Jerry, you there?
Hey, brother. Hey, Brother Reverend Pickett, how you been, man?
Man, I'm great. How about yourself?
Man, last time I talked to you, man, we was doing the Michelle show, the wake-up call show and everything.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I love it.
Yeah, but now, what happened to the projects up in Detroit? I know you were telling us one time that company, Whirlpool, had came and bought all them out and the people were fighting out in the street, and you had stopped a whole lot of that fighting. And then another thing, the Scott sisters, Sister Nancy Lockhart had freed those Scott sisters. And when we looked up, the NAACP had stepped in and took over the whole doggone thing, man. They took it all over, right out of our hands. They didn't want any great credit.
And you know what? That's what they do, Jerry. They come in and take over. And remember this. They're part of them. That's why they're able to control the media. Anytime the NAACP announce that they call for a press release, the media is going to be there. So that's what it is. And also, like Whirlpool, they have continued to build these $1 million and $500,000 condo here, right around the lake. They continue doing what they're doing, and we still fighting. You know, we're not quitting, Gerald. We're showing them that, you know, you have to come out here, and you don't almost have to just, I guess I could say, if you want a war, let's bring in a real war. Because I don't think there ever going to be a change without a conflict. I think that what they're doing now, they're showing us, you know, you can't stop us. That's what they're telling us.
Well, they're doing the same thing here in Chicago. You know, they can turn down all these projects here, and now we got, you know, we've been having this violence from day one since the early 90s, because that's when they started. See, everybody getting all this confused. They started all this, even in Detroit. They started all this in 1991, 92, 93, on up. That's when they started making all these people move out these projects. And then now, at the ending of it, we got all this killing going on. We had 506 folks dead at the end of last year, and we got almost 200 dead just this month.
Yeah, I know it's been a lot, but that's what they want. See, remember this. This is what they want. They want black folks to seem like they wild savages, and they killing their own people and stuff. And they are killing, we are killing our own people. Why don't the NAACP step in and try to stop it?
Well, like you said, though, for a long time. You know, all these so-called black organizations have never been black organizations. They have always been led by the white man. They had the black folks out there as first. You said truth.
Hold on, brothers, hold on. You got Sister Nancy online. Sister Nancy, your line is open.
Hi, how are you, Chipra?
I'm all right. How you doing? How you doing, sister?
Good. How are you, Reverend Pinckney?
Doing great. How about yourself, Nancy?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jerry?
How you doing, Sister Queen?
I want to say, when you want to know the salary of anybody working for a 501(c), just go to GuideStar.com. And I pulled up the 2011 tax return, and GuideStar says that Vangelis made $284,861 in 2011, and it says that he received an estimated compensation from the organization, estimated amount of other compensation, and that is $10,000 and $10,346.
Wow. Hey, can you repeat that total?
$300,000. Pardon me?
Are you saying $300,000?
That's what the 2011 tax return says, and you can go look at it for yourself at GuideStar.org.
Wow.
GuideStar.org. Sister Nancy, your
Roger Mann, the chief operating officer, made $193,949. His other compensation was $24,000. Stephen Hawkins made $199,000 plus. Kim Keenan, the general attorney, made $214,000. And the list goes on. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the seven top people, their salaries are always listed on the tax return, and those tax returns have to be made public, and it's always on GuideStar.org.
Wow.
Sister Nancy.
Yeah,
your phone breaking up real bad, but I'm going to go ahead and look up some of that stuff there for you.
Yeah.
What did you not hear?
Well, we heard everything. I heard it pretty much, but I don't know.
I didn't hear. Give me that total for Vangelis again.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to scroll back up here. It says $284,861.
Okay.
And then additional compensation is $10,346.
Wow.
And that is on column D. The 284 is on column D, which is reportable compensation from the organization.
Okay, I'm looking at that page. Should I go always update nonprofit report, analyze nonprofit data? Which one should I be looking at?
You put in the name of the organization, and then you scroll all the way down to the left side, you see the tax return.
Okay.
Now, there's also, they've also filed their lobbying non-taxable amount that they use for lobbying. And from 2008 to 2011, they're saying that they use $4 million.
Yeah, some of their numbers don't add up.
And you know what? And that's what we need to do. We need to start taking a good look at their tax returns, and then we'll know a little bit more about them. And remember this, $284,000, that's a lot of money for him.
That's a lot of money for anybody. And I can't just sit here to bash the NAACP. All of these organizations are very top heavy. The Red Cross, I think their person made like $300,000 or something. and then
right.
half of that money didn't even get paid. So I'm not here to bash the NAACP, although I feel that they need to shut down. I'm here to say that all of these organizations are very top-heavy, and they do not do the work. I did the work in the Scott Sisters case. Brother Jerry did the work in the Scott Sisters case. It was people out here on the ground that did that work.
Well, you know,
and I must say they weren't Christians that started that. You know, my biggest support initially came from atheists.
Well, my thing is this. See, some of this stuff is our fault because we don't hold these organizations accountable. Even the Red Cross, we do not hold these folks accountable. That's, you know, we're too busy to be out here trying to check everybody. But
hey,
enough...
I tell you something. I, a few years ago, I saw that the person at the top of this at the Red Cross was getting $4 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they
okay.
they really top heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these white organizations are top heavy too. You know, but my thing right now. See, we're not strong enough to tackle everybody. I think that what we need to do, there are certain people that we need to single out, and we need to make them an example. And I think that's how it's get to be done. See, my thing is these black organizations, because I don't know enough. I don't mess with the Red Cross. I don't like nothing they do because I know that they don't distribute the money to where it's supposed to be going. They take care of their own people. And I know that for a fact. But we have to make sure that our organization, they claim that they're going to fight for civil rights. Fight for civil rights. If you're not, let's shut you down then. Let's stop it right here. And I don't think Ben Jelly's going to lose that $284,000, you see. So we have to see, it's more or less what we do more than what they do. We don't do nothing. A lot of
so give it to them again. What's coming up? What is the plan now? You said you're going to go ahead and be at the Image Awards?
Yes, we will be at the Image Awards February the 1st. And we plan to protest the NAACP Image Award February the 1st at the Schreiner Auditorium. The address is 665 West Jefferson in Los Angeles, California. We will be there at 2 p.m. with Jamie Foxx, Denzel, and the rest of them pull up in their limousine. We will be directly across the street with our signs. And we're going to show them, and one of my signs is going to say the NAACP is a joke, you know, and the NAACP is out of touch with the black community. And those are things, they're going to have other people there from different organizations, and everybody's going to present their sign, and they're going to talk about what they're doing. But my thing is more or less, we want Ben Jealous to resign. That's what we want to do. We want the people, the membership, people who have paid their $30 to elect a new president. And that's what we're going after. And then, let's see, it's going to be enough people there to really make haste. We do have the news media is going to be there. We're going to have Rachel Maddox. We're going to have Fox News. And we're going to have CNN. Yeah, they're going to be there. So they all have made appointments. Matter of fact, Fox News was at my house less than 2 weeks ago interviewing me about it. And they wants to come and do a thing with me all day on Thursday and Friday in Los Angeles. So I'm going to let them follow me around for those. And all the ones who want to follow me around, we can do so. But my whole thing.
Okay, that's Fox News. You also got to question their motives. But, you know.
Absolutely.
What were they asking you? What kind of questions? What was the kind of information
they
were trying to get out?
They want to know why are you attacking the NAACP. I told them I'm not attacking them. I said what I want to do, I want to make sure that they do the right thing. And I told them pretty much the same thing I told you tonight. They're out of touch with the black community. They're no longer a civil rights organization. These are things that they want to know. They will, what is your plan? Have you confronted them with? Yes, I have confronted them. What do you want? We want Ben Jealous to resign. We also want the membership to elect the next president and not the boy. And I say that gives, you know, for the $30 that you're paying, at least you get something. And so it's pretty much on that level that we was talking. And the questions that they asked, then what they did, they followed me around the city of Benton Harbor. We went to the new NAACP office here, which moved into Whirlpool offices. And, you know, I showed them that. So that way it gives me validity more than anything else, that some of the things that I'm saying have to be true. You see what I'm saying? So that's really what it's about, and that's why they decided to do that. I've talked to probably maybe 15 to 20 news stations across the country, radio stations, in reference to this, and pretty much most people are excited about it. Like I said, I did have one radio station who wanted to be a little bit different, say, well, you should not be protesting the NAACP Image Award. And I gave them my reason why I was, and I said, just because you don't go along with that reason, that's not going to stop what we're trying to do here. So once I instilled that into his mind, it kind of like neutralized him a little bit too. But, like I said, you question Fox News for their motive, but the point is they can only put on there, if they're going to use my voice, what I say. Whatever spin they put on there is basically is going to help us more than it's going to help them, because I cannot see them helping them any kind of way, even though the NAACP do have a little control over some of these medias. So whatever they get, even bad publicity is better than none at all.
True.
Well, I
so
have
that,
a question. Oh, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
Go ahead.
My
so,
question,
go ahead.
It seems that before the members could elect the president, I would think that you would need to change the bylaws.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct. And we have to put a resolution in and have to be voted upon. And it also has
okay.
to be voted upon by the members. So that might give us an edge there. You're absolutely correct. Matter of fact, you know that. I'm glad you said that. That's beautiful. And people need to know that. It just can't happen. You have to put a resolution in and bring it before, got to go before the board, and the board have to make that decision. Most likely they won't make that decision. But then the people during the Freedom Fund dinner, those of the people from different branches will come and vote. And I think that's how it has to be done.
So you think they're going ahead and doing it that way? I mean, you already.
I think the members want it that way. They
want. Hold on. But for you, you already been kicked out. So
yeah, I don't. I'm just doing it for them. I'm doing it for them because I care less about being a member. I don't want to be a member, but I think that the things should be changed. And if you're going to pay your $30, at least you should have some kind of benefit. And that's what I'm thinking of. And that's the only benefit I could think of. You get a chance to elect the president.
I'm still tripping on, you know, the NAACP had black leadership up until, oh boy, and in towns now, it's all run by
white. Yeah, absolutely. And you'd be surprised. Matter of fact, they just had one in the, I'm going to go out on a limb because I remember seeing it. I'm going to say it was in the final call that they mentioned somebody in Idaho was president of a branch of the NAACP and was white. I'm going to say that. I know it was up there somewhere, but I can't remember where I read it at. And it has been so many that, you know, I really don't pay that much attention to it anymore. When you go to the Freedom Fund dinner, you'll see probably – Maybe 25 to 30% of the branch presidents that comes in are white. You'll see that. At least 25, I would say.
Good.
And they be there, and which is really amazing to me. And I was in total shock. I never thought it was like that because everything I ever known about, I didn't even know the NAACP was started by white folks. I didn't know that. I didn't know the NAACP
white
didn't have
Jewish.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was started. And then here's something else that the people don't know. Here's something else they don't know. The I'm going to say either the CIA or the FBI helped put their bylaws together. It was an attorney out of Boston put their bylaws together and actually put them into operation. I know he was a lawyer, and I think he was out of Boston. And somebody said he was either an FBI agent or a CIA agent. I don't know. You may be able to look that up, but I'm not really positive. I know, but it was a lawyer. He was a lawyer, but then somebody said he was an agent also. So that I do know. A lot of stuff that's being done. I got this guy named Dr. Randy Short out of Washington D.C. He usually do a lot of research for me, and he came up with that idea. That it was done by a Boston lawyer, and he was an agent, a CIA agent. He's an FBI agent, one or the other. So that's how that worked. But the point is, we need to understand exactly what we're doing here. We need to know and tell people what we need to be done. If you're going to be a civil rights organization, be a civil rights organization. Don't sit around and say you're a civil rights organization and take my $30. And give me nothing in return. I'm not going for that, you see. So that's really what it adds up to. But the NAACP is have to be held accountable. And I am so glad that this salary came out, because now it gives me put another one of them stones in my slingshot. And I think that's beautiful. And I never thought about looking it up and how much money he made. But, Chef, you definitely kept talking about how much money you made, and now we got the total.
We don't have the total yet.
Yeah, well, I think we got.
They can make millions.
Yeah, you sure can, especially underneath the table.
Yeah, you got a rough estimate, but, I just think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I really think they done brought in a whole lot of money. And I want you to tell me a little bit more about some of the pushback from some of the other leadership in the NAACP when you're trying to work on projects for the community. What are some of the things they try to tell you?
Well, one of the things they always tell you this: make sure, this is what they say, that you go through your state president for everything. Anything that goes in, because we had an issue here with our school system. There was a big fight broke out, about 200 students, and all the kids, even the kids that weren't even involved in the fight, they were standing around watching, they got kicked out. And so we decided to take that on as the president of the NAACP, that, they was kicking them out for the whole year. These kids were going to lose a whole year of school. Mm-hmm. So what the president told us, that was not part of our fight. And matter of fact, we went around several times in reference to that, and I told them, everything is our fight if it concerns our people, our citizens, and our children. I said, we have an obligation to stand up, and some of the kids, now, I can see the two people that's fighting get kicked out. But you can't kick out the whole school. And the reason why they kicked everybody out of the whole school, they had already received that money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about you in class no more after they receive the money that comes in from the state. And then the NAACP, they join ranks with the school system against the branch here. And they call themselves writing us up, telling us that we're in violation of the charter, and they supposedly wrote us up, but they never did write us up, because if that would have hit the news, then it would have really been bad for them. But that was one incident that we had with them in reference to the school system itself, but they did not want us to do anything. One of the things we did, the emergency manager here, when he came in, he started telling people what you can do and what you can't do. He told the people, when he made the statement that if everybody in the city voted for something and he voted against it, he win, we picketed City Hall that day. He called down to the state NAACP on me, and they called me on my cell phone, told me that we couldn't picket him or the City Hall. And I told him that we wasn't picking it on the NAACP. We were picking on the BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization, and you can't tell me whether I can pick it or not. So they didn't like that part either. So those are two of the things that I can think of right off the top of my head where they decided that they couldn't, that they didn't want us to do anything. Also, we was picking in Whirlpool. They was getting ready to outsource the jobs to Mexico. And they had just got a $12 million tax break 2 years before that. And once they have used up the $12 million, they decided they were going to outsource the jobs down to Mexico. So we picketed the plant. And once again, what they did, they notified the state. And the state, once again, told us that we could not have a direct action. We could not do this. It's against the bylaws to picket. And I said, no, we've been picketing it for years. It's not against the bylaws to picket, you know. But that's how they do. Those are three things that I could think of right off the top of my head that they really didn't want us to do, didn't want us to be part of. Matter of fact, they really didn't want you to do nothing. Let me tell the truth.
What other corporations have Whirlpool have been working with? I mean, not Whirlpool, NAACP been working with like they do with Whirlpool. What other big pharmacy, big oil, insurance?
Let me give you the list right here. You can look them up on the internet. Pfizer. Pfizer is a really important one. That's the one that had that depot, Provera, that the birth control. And one of the things that angered me about that drug had killed over 60,000 black women. And now what they're doing, they're giving money. There's the person in New York, she's the president. She's the president, the vice president she's the president of a branch. She's on the board for Pfizer, and she's pushing this drug. See, my daughter was a victim of Depot Provera, and I don't like it. It didn't kill her, but it affected her. It made her sick, and I've really been fighting against that. And that's one of the companies that also give the NAACP money underneath the table. Then you got Upjump, that's another one. You got General Motors, you got Ford, you got Chrysler, you got Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's the list is so long. Bank of America, you got you name it, Wells Fargo, you name it. It's so many banks and stuff that gives them money and sponsor their Freedom Fund dinner, and that's why you don't see them doing anything right now. They no longer attack any corporation. Only the corporation they attack is the one who say, well, I'll take you to court and battle you in court. They will not stand up against any corporation that's giving them dollars. You see, so that's what it adds up to. And you can look on the website. See, what I would do, since you got the website, I would look on that website and see which ones, because they should have a list of all the corporations that donate to them. I have not been on that website in a little while, but they should have a list, because you almost have to do it, especially with the tax return as the whole unit. You almost have to have a list of all the companies that have donated to them and how much they have. So, that's something that we might want to look up and get back at it and talk more about that, too, because I think that's extremely important.
And it sure is. Let me take a break. I want to play a clip of everybody's number one motivational speaker, I call him. What else should I call him? I was an idiot. Listen to this motivational speaker here.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestor way back, way yonder when, was sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Yep, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. No show would be complete without that great motivational speaker, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson.
The ride was bumpy, huh? That's all right, man. That's good. Jesse Peterson, don't he have a show or something?
Yeah, he do. I got some clips too. I'm waiting to go ahead and put them in the right setting because he got a lot of YouTube clips, and the questions are being asked, man. I'm like, oh man, first time I heard that, and I'm not lying, exaggerating, nearly fell out my chair. I was listening like, when is he asking, man? So I'll be playing them clips real soon. I'm going to do a show devoted to all them people like that, and I'm going to have that coon parade going because I'm going to have some stuff, some silly stuff that Jesse Jackson say. I got some of his stuff, you know, Farrakhan and Al Sharpton, Cornel West, and all these people who are supposed to be speaking, Ben Jealous. Oh, man, y'all just don't know. I caught some good clips of him, this fucker here. But I got some stuff. I want to go ahead and play that coon parade. Go ahead and show you that, hey, look, we can't get this up. You know, what you're going through up there with that situation, you know, you were doing the work you're putting in Benton Harbor, and also your dealings with the NAACP, your experiences with the NAACP, I think that pushback on you going to be real hard, brother.
Yeah.
It's going to be real, real hard because Ben Jealous can go ahead and snap his finger. He can wind up on any of these media shows, you know, all these talk shows, these news shows, man. You can wind up on there right away.
Yes, you can.
So how soon? How strong are you going at him? Are you holding back any? Are you putting all the cards on the table?
Well, what we're doing, we got a couple of aces in the hole that we're using. Matter of fact, I got about 25 ministers from across the country who are in support of me. Matter of fact, they're going to be in L.A. They're like my secret weapon. And what they're going to do, they also be able to bring the media out. And they're going to put a blitz within the next week or so. You're going to be hearing about them all over the country. And they're going to be hearing about this thing about the Image Award. Right now, the Image Awards, even if Ben Jealous come out, Ben Jealous is not going to come out too far. Here's the reason why. He do not want to be undressed. Because one of the things that he's afraid of and they're intimidated by, they know that I have the evidence to support what I'm saying. You see, they can't say, well, Pinckney is not being truthful or Pinckney is lying. They can't say that because I have, even the judge himself knew that I was on point. And he also knew that he probably figured that Ben Jelly would have to do the right thing. He knew that, but it never worked that way. Unfortunately, I probably could have took it back in the court and won. Did something. I just said that, you know what I want to do? I want to fight them another way. I want to fight them the way that gonna make changes more than just me trying to show people that, you know, they did this wrong in court. Why don't we show them out here in the streets, which never been done before, not on this level. It's never been done. And that's why the news media is interested. I believe the news media will be more willing to talk to me, especially if I can do some connecting. See, one of the things about the NAACP, see, you got to connect Jesse and Al and the NAACP together. You see, that's when you can say you're killing three birds with one stone. And I think we get a chance and people begin to wake up and understand. I'm telling you, look, 4,500 and more people have burned their NAACP card. Do you understand what that means? That's incredible. Black people give other black people a free pass. This has never been done before. And they really, I'm telling you, you know, not what I think, I'm telling you what I know, that this is going to open the ears up of black folks and start holding these different organizations accountable. Somebody got to do it. I have received more emails from people across this country in reference to this than I have ever done before. My email list right now is over 3,000 people only because I started this car burning situation. That's why. People have been emailing me. They've been emailing me telling me that, like on Sunday, I only got a few, maybe about 40-something people, I think it was. But they've been coming in, you know. They're going to be coming in all the way up until next Sunday. But the point is, everybody now understands, well, maybe, you know, Pinckney has some validity in what he's saying and what he's doing. And the point is, I think we can neutralize him. I think Ben Jealous is not going to go on TV and say anything. He's not even going to go to the news media, because I don't think he can, because now it's other. It's not just Pinckney. I'm telling you, it's this guy out of Chicago. Look him up. David Lowry. Look him up. He's another one. He's right out of Chicago. Matter of fact, he was here in Benton Harbor, not this Saturday, the Saturday before that. I let him speak to my group, and he spoke and he told the story. I got a guy out of Colorado. This guy, these are doctors. This guy, he's a doctor out of Colorado. I got a guy out of Atlanta. And these people, they are sick and tired of the NAACP. And we have to be sick and tired of them. We can make them do what they're supposed to do. And unless we do, all we're doing is spinning our wheels. We're going to continue being in this compromising position unless we do something. And we can do it. And the thing is, we got to do it as a group and not as individuals. So the fight began. And I'm willing to fight. That's the difference.
You sure you're ready to fight, brother?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for him. I'm ready for him. I'm willing to take the gloves off and do whatever needs to be done to neutralize. And it's for the people. You got to be willing to make a sacrifice. I made a sacrifice. You see, I went to jail for no reason. No reason at all. But I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. It's all part of war. Somebody has to learn to take a bullet. And we took a bullet. And we're moving on. It's just that simple. So, that's what it's all about, you know. And we just need a few more black folks to take a stand. And think about the future. See, here's the thing, too, that we as black folks got to do. We got to start protecting our women and children. See, that's one of our pitfalls right there. We do not protect our women and our children. That's why we're not as strong as we should be, you see. Until we say, well, hey, you're not going to attack my woman, you're not going to attack the lady next door to me or the lady on the other side of me or across the street from me or my sister, my cousin, my niece, or the children, then we become a force. That's the only time that we ever going to become a force, because you have to protect your women and the children at all costs, at all costs. There is no limitation on that. That's when we become a force, and that's what we're trying to educate the NAACP and their group. You sit around here and kiss the butts of these corporations and use us as guinea pigs. Only use us when they need us, you see. and then go around to the media telling them like we're doing so much. They sent me a list of stuff, that they accomplished this year. I sent it back to them. I said, this is a joke.
Hold on. What was on that list?
Trayvon Martin, the Obama election. We won the, they even admitted that they put Obama in office. They registered, they said he, over 20,000 people, stuff like that, you know, and we know they didn't, but the point is, they can say that because most people don't know. Trayvon Martin, we know what you did there, you see, voter registration. And also they was saying that they won the issue about the voter, you know, producing a voter ID when you go to the poll. But yet when you were a member of the NAACP, in order to vote at any of the NAACP elections, you have to have a picture ID. So we had an issue with that. Why would you sit here and talk about you complaining about going to the polls? You happen to have a picture ID, yet when you have your very own NAACP election, you have to have a picture ID. There's no logic to that. You've been a real hypocrite. And that, you know, some of the things that, you know, they sent me about what they have accomplished this year. It was three things on there that they had. And you know, a whole year you accomplished three things, you know. And really it's no things because you didn't accomplish any of them. You haven't did anything with the Trayvon Martin thing. You were just there.
Ain't did nothing with the 500 plus murders here in Chicago.
No, ain't did nothing nowhere. They haven't stood up for any real issues anywhere. And this is what they do. But yet we don't say nothing. You know, we don't say nothing. At least Minister Farrakhan was out in the streets. He went into the streets. You won't see the NAACP nowhere.
Yeah, he's the only one that did come out there, but he had like 500 Nation of Islam brothers moving with him. They had cameras. They were taking pictures. They were doing it all. They were stopping everybody on the streets up here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think that's what you should do. We need to be right out there in the street. That's why when I'm here in Benton Harbor, I'm in the streets every single day. That's not a day I'm not. I go to the courthouse every day. I've been on vacation for the last Yeah.
You know what, Rick? Here in Chicago, man, I have sat out here and talked to some of these fools, and that's what they are, fools. These fools don't care about killing. They don't care about dying. And they don't care about going to jail. They don't even care about life itself. Mm. All they doing, man, is running up and down the street, just gunning each other down like dogs. And it don't make, you know, it's you know, see, this was a normal thing in the projects. It was normal. That was an everyday thing in the projects to see somebody get gunned up, to go past the house and everybody in there shot to death. But now there's no more projects, and they just scattered them all over the doggone place, so they didn't brought the projects to the street. So what you expect? This is a normal thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, they don't care.
They don't care. And they'll
fight. Let me ask you a question, Reverend Ed. The NAACP has been involved in these so-called gang troops, you know, to stop the violence. All the other stuff. I remember seeing them in part of a couple of campaigns. You know, what happened to them, that being part of something for them to handle? What happened to that?
I have never known them to be out in that.
Me neither.
If they say they have, it hasn't been recorded. They may say they are, but I have never, ever known the NAACP. Matter of fact, most of the NAACP are usually bourgeois Negroes. And they are not going in the streets.
The only one that I know that really in direct communication with some of these street leaders is Farrakhan.
Right. That's the only person
I
know.
He's the only one that I know that I can verify. That's guaranteed. He received letters from all of them. They write him and try to, you know, but no, no, no. Ain't nobody else trying to. Ain't nobody trying to talk to Larry Hoover. Ain't nobody trying to talk to Jeff Foe. Ain't nobody trying to talk to none of them. Nobody but Farrakhan.
That's it.
I'm telling you.
And you know, funny thing too, I'm from Chicago. I was born and raised John Marshall High School. Absolutely.
You went to Marshall?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Marshall Commando. And look, and I used to live on Pulaski and Lexington.
Mm.
Lived there from 1959. When did I leave? I went to school in 1967. Came back in 74. That I'm strictly a West Side boy.
You was here when it was going down.
Yeah, I was there with the real deal. You know,
they was the real back then. They wasn't no joke.
Yeah, that's my mom. My mom and dad used to live right there on the corner of Pulaski and Lexington. We used to live at 409 West Lexington.
So they wasn't no joke. Black folks was moving in, they wasn't no joke.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If you was in, they'd knock you down.
Reverend Ed.
Yes.
I only got a few more minutes left in the show. I want you to tell people about your show and when you come on and what you're working on next.
Hey, here's the thing. We're doing some incredible thing. Every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, you can call in at 347-994-3644. Let me repeat that. 347-994-3644. That's 5 p.m. Eastern Time, not Standard, Eastern Time. What we're working on now, we got this Lynn Stewart deal. Some of you may have heard of Lynn Stewart. Some of you may have not heard of her. She's a white attorney who's married to one of my good friends, Ralph Pointer. She's in prison. Matter of fact, she defended the blind sheikh. And right now she's dying from cancer. And what we're trying to do now, we're trying to get a petition together, get people together, and come out and support her. Also, we're dealing with T.I. Some of you may have heard of the term T.I., which is target individuals. That means that they're targeted by the government with microwaves, the whole works. And we're working with them. I have a meeting with them every Thursday. And usually we have 80 to 100 of them on the line at one time talking, figuring out how we're going to do. I'm going to take them to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to set up a meeting for them. Also, which is even more important, we're dealing with the NAACP, we're dealing with Al Sharpton, and we're dealing with Jesse Jackson. We want them to start doing what they're supposed to do, and we're going to hold them accountable. And I want people to understand it's not personal. You see, a lot of times people think it's personal. It's not personal. It's for the people. And I want people to understand that we must protect our women and children. At all costs. At all costs. We have to protect them. And that's what I'm committed to do. And we're going to be in L.A., Los Angeles, February the 1st. We will definitely be protesting the NAACP Image Awards. It's going to start about 2 o'clock. The address is 665 West Jefferson, the Shriner Auditorium. On Saturday, I'm going to be speaking at 3655 Grand from 7 to 9. On January the 30th, I'm going to be speaking at UCLA. I really don't know the time, so I can't tell you the time. I'm assuming between 11 and 1 o'clock. So that's mostly what I'll be doing, getting folks together, letting them understand that we're in this fight for the long haul and that we're serious about what we're doing. And I really want to thank you for having me on your show. I mean, it's been a pleasure. Nancy, Jerry, hey, I tell you, it's been tremendous. And anytime that y'all want to call me, you can call me at 269-925-0001. That's 269-925-0001. And I want y'all to know that, hey, I'm with y'all 100%, and I'm going to do all I can to help you also. And I know what you're trying to do, so we need to talk a little bit more.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk. We're going to talk. Let me go down the line here. Sister Nancy.
Oop, I have my phone muted. I'm sorry. I'd just like to say thanks. Don't forget those who are wrongfully incarcerated. Join me on Facebook, my blog, nancylockhart.net, to see the latest cases.
All right, Nancy. We love you, Nancy.
Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
All right.
Okay, Brother Jerry, tell about your show and what you're doing.
Well, we're the Pulpit for Campaign here in Chicago, and Reverend Pinckney, we need you here, too. But we happy. We're going to be with you on all this here.
Hey,
right,
I appreciate
it. Chicago is just in a mess.
Yeah, yeah, I know it is. My town, too, bro. Jerry, you got my number. Y'all gave y'all my number. Call me.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Now, Jerry, I'm looking for it.
Yep.
All right, that's
now,
my show. Thanks for being out.
All right,
okay.
Sweet chap. Take care of yourself.